Good morning and welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes as we have a conversation about faith and how to integrate our faith into all the areas of our lives. And on this show, we share testimonies and faith journeys intended to encourage you if you're already a believer and challenge you a little bit if you're still checking out faith. Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. So that's what we like to do on this program. We share the Word, and we pray that God will open up your hearts today to receive the Word and also give you spiritual eyes to see and ears to hear. We'd like to start the program with a scripture reading. Oh, this is my favorite part of the show. So all week I've been kind of wandering through the Gospel of Luke. And this comes from the fourth chapter of Luke. Just to set the backstory to this passage I'm about to read. So we're in the fourth chapter of Luke. The first couple chapters talks about, you have kind of John the Baptist and the prophecy of John the Baptist, and what his role will be in kind of preparing the way. And then we have the visitation of the angel Gabriel to both John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, and that happens. But then the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, Jesus's mother, and says, you're going to have a child and you're going to conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that happens through the early part of Luke's gospel. But then we have Jesus is born. They go into the part about the shepherds and the revelation that was given to them. It's really a beautiful read. But now we get to the part where Jesus has just been baptized by John the Baptist. He's just come out of the wilderness, 40 days tempted in the wilderness. And so here we are, we're picking up the Gospel of Luke in the fourth chapter, and it goes like this. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scripture. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All the eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. And again, that's the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. We'll talk about that passage a little bit on the program and a few other passages. Wanted to let you know that we have all of our podcasts loaded on iTunes now, and we also have a website. It's everydayfaithradio.com. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. We have a special guest with us, so please stay with us. We're going to be right back in just a moment.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia. The American Red Cross needs blood and platelet donors. At this time of year, there is always a decline in donations. To donate and help save lives, visit redcrossblood.org. Big Brother and Big Sister is expanding its mentoring program. For more information on youth enrollment or being a mentor, please visit www.blueridgebigs.org. Come to a winter jazz ensemble concert on Saturday, February 23rd at 8 p.m. in Old Cabell Hall. The Winter Jazz Ensemble is directed by trumpeter and composer John DeEarth. To purchase tickets, visit www.artsboxoffice.virginia.edu. If your charity or nonprofit has an event, email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@monticellomedia.com. For more events, visit our website, wchv.com.
And then you're out of desperation, though you not the only one praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program is my new friend, Kim Hager. I met Kim about a month ago, actually was able to see her perform. She's an incredibly talented musician, works out of the prayer furnace up in Fredericksburg, is an anointed woman. And next time she's coming back on the program in about a month, and she's going to sing some music for us. But today, Kim, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my honor to be here, Jeff. Thank you.
You come to us via the person who has probably sent me more visitors on this program. Actually, I have several friends who send visitors, but Joan Hutter is our mutual acquaintance and good friend. Mm-hmm. And so thank you, Joan. Just keep them coming. But if you would, Kim, just to give a little background to our listeners, maybe talk about who is Kim Hager today, and then I'm going to back up and ask you a little bit about your faith journey.
Great. Yeah, so you mentioned me being part of the prayer furnace. So for about the past 12 to 15 years, my primary assignment in life has been to be before the presence of the Lord, singing, worshiping, partnering with His heart in prayer for our cities, our regions, our nation, the nations of the earth. So that's been my job description, but as far as who I am, I think it's woven into that job description, and that is I'm absolutely a lover of Jesus. We read about Mary of Bethany in the scriptures, where she sat at the feet of Jesus, and the description of her pouring her costly oil upon His feet, and that has been my dream and my aspiration, but also very much a part of who. If you ask me, who are you, Kim? I think the defining thing of my life is I love Jesus. Mm. I'm a lover of Jesus, and that's my primary occupation in life is to love Him, and in that, to bring others into that encounter is my heart. So.
Well, our guest today is Kim Hager on the program Everyday Faith Radio. And Kim, you just have a glow and a radiance about you, and it's a beautiful thing.
Thank
but
you.
let me back up. One thing that intrigues me: you said my assignment in life. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about your assignment? What that means? I'm really intrigued by this.
Yeah, I think each of us in our relationship with the Lord, He gives us specific things that are linked to our heart's desire, our gifts, our callings, our heart's desire. I believe that our calling is to love the Lord, our God, with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. But within our specific personalities and how He's made us to be, our dreams, the visions that He's put in our heart, I think He gives us specific assignments, maybe lifetime assignments, maybe short-term seasonal assignments. And for me, there's been a very specific assignment of worship and prayer on my life as though it's my full-time occupation.
Well, let me ask just a little bit further, because if Kim Hager receives this assignment to be this worship leader, and I believe we're all called to be worshipers in our own capacity, but you have this incredible voice and amazing gift. So if Kim stands and delivers with her gift, it would sound quite different than if Jeff Gaffney did that. So all I'm trying to say is I want to kind of go into that. Mm-hmm. When did you realize that you could make this joyful noise that was pleasing to the Lord? Yeah. When did you realize that just kind of came out of your mouth?
I'm not sure that it just happened one day. It really is a long life process. When I was a kid, I had a piano teacher that lived two houses down from us, and I was friends with her kids, and it started as a desire in my heart to play music. Mm-hmm. And the Lord conveniently put a piano teacher two houses down the street. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where it began, and so I just had this love for music and creativity even since I was a child. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as the voice that you hear now. Mm. Obviously, that's been cultivated over years of both being skillful musically, like actually practicing mm-hmm. and seeking excellence, but also developing intimacy with Jesus. Mm-hmm. So it definitely isn't something that, you know, I just discovered I have this gift and I'm going to use it. It's been a long process mm-hmm. of increasing in growth and maturity and skill and excellence, and hopefully will continue mm-hmm. To be a process.
Did you feel sort of God's favor, though? Was there
Absolutely.
A moment when you mm-hmm. kind of sensed, okay, I'm doing exactly what I'm called to do?
There's been a few very significant moments in my life journey. I can remember, I think I was like 9 years old, grew up in a Baptist church. And for whatever reason, I walked up to the pastor after a music team had been at our church. And I walked up to the pastor, and I know now that I was prophesying over my own life. Mm. But I walked up to the pastor and said, I'm going to do something like this with my life one day. Mm. And I think even early on as a child, I knew that I had a specific route in life. Mm-hmm. Another significant time was during a visit at the House of Prayer in Kansas City, the International House of Prayer mm-hmm. in Kansas City, Missouri. I knew when I showed up I showed up for a summer just to learn and glean and do a short internship there. And all I knew was that I had a heart for missions and I loved to worship. Mm-hmm. And during my time there, Mike Bickle spoke about this Anna calling. And he takes that from the story of Anna, who was widowed. But she spent her life before the Lord in the temple of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And when the promised Messiah showed up on the scene, Anna was one of those people that was able to recognize it because she had developed intimacy mm-hmm. with the Lord. And whenever Mike gave that, and then he began to give a call for singers and musicians to sign up for this assignment that looked much like maybe what David did in his day. King David saw that he had a heavenly revelation of what the throne room and government of God was like, and King David in his heart, in his dreams, decided, I'm going to fund thousands of singers and musicians and people to be before the presence of the Lord day and night, night and day. And so when I heard these two messages about King David and the musicians and the singers around the government and presence of God, and this woman, Anna, who fasted and prayed and awaited for the Messiah, something in my spirit stirred, and it was like I realized, oh, this is who you made me to be. Mm. And this is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
I love that. This is Everyday Faith Radio, and our guest today is Kim Hager. She's on iTunes. I've been to it. It's amazing. If you like worship music, just search Kim Hager, H-A-G-E-R, on iTunes and start playing it, all of it. It's amazing. I've done it. And if you're new to the whole worship scene and you don't know what I'm talking about, go there anyway and just listen. Kim, you need to know this. I started playing your music in the car and I found Lover of My Soul and I just played that song again and again and again and again, kind of got wrapped up in it, had a moment with God, and it just seems like when you, as a listener, kind of find the right music, it seems to be, for me at least, and I've heard others say it too, it's kind of a doorway into the presence of
Amen.
The Lord. I mean, I found myself, wow, it blew me away.
Awesome. Thank you.
So how about singing us one? I'm kidding. I wouldn't do that to you, although I might. Let me also mention to our listeners how I met Kim. So, and then we're going to take a break, and we have so much more to talk about. But Joan Hutter invites me to an event. They were just coming off of this Women Abide Conference, and Joan came on the show, talked about that, and we had several of her friends on the program. But this was kind of a combination of Women Abide and the Charlottesville House of Prayer, and I got there, and I could only stay for a little bit, And it was at Connect Church on Hydraulic Road. And Joan introduces Kim. And I heard Kim sing. And the other thing about, I mean, I loved your music from the first note. But the other thing that I saw and was inspired by you, the way you kind of look when you're singing, you look like you really are offering up something in well, I guess that's what you're supposed to do. Yeah. But I mean, you really kind of demonstrated that in a way where I was just captivated. I was like, oh my goodness, look at her. Kind of, you were giving so much of yourself into the music, which is what kind of drew me in. I was like, and then sort of inspired, because now you've talked about how that's your assignment and your gifting and your calling. And then, you know, for a moment, I was a little bit envious of you, because I was like, well, look at how she's working her gift. I don't know if that makes sense to you.
Sure.
At all. But I was like, gosh, way to go. And then I immediately, I think before I left the building, I texted Joan. I said, I got to get Kim on the program. And here you are.
Here I am.
Yay.
Thank you. I'm glad.
No, but
to
it
be
was
here.
Just amazing. And I was really... really impressed with your abilities. And and by the way, before we head to the break, for some of our listeners that don't know who Kim was referencing earlier in the program, she talked about the International House of Prayer, or IHOP. What's her website? Is it IHOP?
IHOPKC.org.
.org. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Because it's 24-hour a day.
For 20 years, they've been hosting the presence of the Lord in worship and prayer nonstop, day and night, for 20 years.
Well, and it was Joan's husband, just to connect all the dots, Joan's husband, Chauncey, who's been a big influence on my life and my Christian walk, he was the one that kind of tipped me off to IHOP, and he's like, hey, just go there and watch it and listen. Mm. And so I was new to that.
Right.
I was like, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. But then once I started to kind of pick up on what was happening, and then just, again, we're heading to the break, but we had Diane Bickle on the program less than a year ago. It was amazing. So Diane and her husband, Mike, run the International House of Prayer. And to connect the last dot, Diane's a real estate broker in Kansas City. I'm a real estate broker.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have a lot in common.
Yeah.
I just did all the talking, but we're going to go to the break.
That's
I
great.
Promise we're going to talk more to Kim Hager after the break. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We'll be right back in just a moment. Please stay with us.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia. Peachtree Baseball and Softball in Crozet registration is open for boys and girls ages 4 to 16. Join them for in-person registration on Tuesday, January 15th from 6:30 to 8 at Field School in Crozet, or register online at www.peachtreebaseball.com. The 8th Annual Blood Drive in memory of David R. Schiff Jr. and Pamela Collier Mellenby is on January 31st from 1 to 7 p.m. at First Baptist Church on Park Street. AARP Tax Aid in Charlottesville, Fluvanna, and Lovingston need volunteers to help residents prepare their tax returns from February 1st through April 15th. Training is provided. For more info, call 434-244-0451. If your charity or nonprofit has an event, email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@monticellomedia.com. For more events, visit our website, wchv.com.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. Our guest on the program is my new friend, Kim Hager. She's the worship leader at the Fredericksburg. It's the prayer furnace.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing place up there. Early on in the history of this program, we had David Bradshaw, the leader of Fredericksburg prayer furnace, on the program. Amazing guy, amazing prayer warrior. But Kim is with us today, Kim Hager. And Kim, what I want to cover now, if you would, is kind of just for our listeners, could you kind of walk us through how you became a believer in Jesus, kind of the early Kim?
Sure. So I grew up in a small independent Baptist church. My family was very involved in church. I think significant was the emphasis on the Word of God and involvement in missions. My parents were on the missions committee, so I was constantly hearing stories of missionaries in the field. So those things were very influential. At some point in a Sunday school class, I was about 5 or 6, they described Jesus as Savior and how he wanted me to have him. You know, I'm a 6-year-old, so wanted him, you know, he wanted to be in my heart, and I just knew that that was what I needed. And so that evening, my dad sat and prayed with me and led me to the Lord. It was later, so through junior high school, that really became my refuge, probably for most of us in junior high, was difficult times. But during a season of a lot of rejection, I found the Lord to be a friend. Mm-hmm. In high school, it became more real to me. It began to understand the cost of the cross more. It was around that time, probably as I was nearing time to transition out of high school, that I felt that call to full-time ministry. Interesting enough, what I knew of my relationship with the Lord was really mostly about what I could do for him. At that point in life, through high school, through my early young adult years, my relationship with the Lord was mostly about what I could do for him. And in my early 20s, my family hit a significant crisis, just a heartbreaking time in my family and my parents' marriage. And it was a devastating time for me, and I was kind of pulled out on my own. Young adult years are significant to have parental involvement. But what the Lord did during that time was he set me in a group, two groups. He set me in a group of Spirit-filled praying women. And he set me in a Morning Star fellowship that these people met every other Saturday just to wait on the Lord, to worship him, to pray, and see what he would have to say. So while I'm having sort of a catastrophe in my home life, the Lord set me, the lonely one, in this spiritual family of people that knew Holy Spirit. And so that most difficult season of life also became the most precious to me, because I began to learn that what God was really after was intimacy and relationship, and not just doing the right thing and, you know, not just knowing the Word and working for the Lord, but becoming an intimate friend of God. And so it was around that time in my early 20s that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the Lord just took me on a romance, so to speak, of knowing who he was, not just knowing about him, but really knowing him. Mm-hmm. And that journey sort of brings us to today with the lifestyle that I shared with you about, just, you know, living a life of intimacy with Jesus, mm-hmm. and following the Holy Spirit.
Okay, because I have to ask, if you go back, answer this riddle for me. If there's no crisis in Kim's life, do you develop that hunger for Jesus? If there's no crisis, I mean, who knows the answer?
But we all have crisis, right?
Yeah, right.
But I think that's an excellent question. I think it brings us to the point that while we think we're the ones pursuing God, all along he's pursuing us. Mm. And through whatever means necessary, he will pursue us. So I do think, even if there was no crisis, I think the Lord loved me enough to pursue me.
Okay, let me look at the crisis differently now. Mm-hmm. Can you see the crisis as painful? And the Bible talks about it as affliction and furnace and uses all those kind of descriptions. Can you now see that as somewhat of a little bit of a gift now because of what was birthed out of that?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think I've learned through different seasons of life when pain and difficulty comes, because we're promised in this life that we're going to have pain and difficulty. But the heart of the Lord is that we would see him in it, and that we would turn to him in it. And it's those times that I think have been the most precious times of going deep into the heart of God, because he reveals himself in ways in those times and seasons that perhaps we wouldn't come to know him.
My son, Drew Gaffney, is a big C.S. Lewis fan, and I've used this quote before from C.S. Lewis on the program, and I wonder if this might fit for you. C.S. Lewis is fond of saying that that God, make sure I get it right, that God whispers to us in our pleasures, but he yells to us in our pain. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of pick up on how you can hear the voice of God oftentimes out of desperation? Does that make sense to you?
Yes, absolutely. I think hunger and desperation is a gift that he gives us. It's rather than looking at it as a burden. Mm. We're told several times in Scripture, you know, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, there's a promise attached to that. And so this ache of desire and hunger that every human being experiences for something beyond themselves, that same ache that manifests when we're in our lowest, darkest places where we're crying out, is, I think, the very catalyst to get us to look at Jesus and see him already there pursuing us.
Mm. This is Everyday Faith Radio, and our guest is Kim Hager on the program. And Kim, we're winding up the show, but let's just pretend for a moment that somebody has wandered on to this radio station this morning, and they find themselves in a very desperate, painful, heartbroken place. As one who's been there and one who met the, to use the title of one of your songs, that met the lover of your soul there, what would you say to anybody who's going through a terribly difficult time right now?
Great. I would say to them that invite Jesus to be there with you. Be open and as transparent with him as you possibly can, because he wants to come in and be in that place with you. Mm-hmm. And to know that he is the comforter, and he, if you allow him, this could be the most transitioning time of your life. If you allow the Lord to come into that place of pain, if you're honest with him about it, if you invite him to come and sit with you in the pain, it can be transformational and life-changing to have his comfort and his leadership in that place.
Mm. Wow. Kim Hager, thank you so much for being on the show. And next time, I promise to our listeners, next time we're going to have Kim Hager in the studio with the keyboards, and you are going to be blown away. But in the meantime, please go to iTunes, Kim Hager, H-A-G-E-R, on iTunes. And for my sake, search for Lover of My Soul, because that happens to be my favorite. But all the songs on there are terrific. And Kim, I can't thank you enough for being on the show. Your faith journey and how you're living out your life is inspirational.
Thank you, Jeff. It's an honor to be here.
I look forward to having you back.
Me too.
It's February?
Yes.
All right. Kim Hager, to you and to all of our listeners, I want to pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all next week.